You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for stands by stands. I'm Augie.
And I'm Kayla. Okay, so this week we're going to talk about this week in pop culture and use the hashtag FOAFpod when you tweet about the show so we can see your thoughts and things. So let's go.
Alrighty, so we're going to run through a couple of the biggest stories that we came across. Some of them may not be the biggest, but they're stuff we really wanted to talk about. So let's start with Louis Tomlinson of One Direction.
Oh, getting my God.
Arrested this past week after a brawl at the LAX airport.
Like, literally rumble in the terminal.
Who? He is like the... I don't know. Here, look. I didn't really follow One Direction like that, but I do know of them. And he's like the last person in that group that I would have thought would be just throwing people around in public like that.
Well, you know what, though? I'm actually not surprised that it was him because he was like, he was the one to kind of like fuss on Twitter and things like that and get like easily annoyed with like Larry shippers and stuff. But for this to happen, it was just like, so let's just talk about the video and how it went down.
Let's break down what happened.
So he's walking through like the terminal with his girlfriend and one paparazzi comes up and he's like flashing pictures, but as she keeps walking, the girlfriend keeps walking, Louis is like, hey, just like move, stop, whatever. But at one point he ends up like grabbing the guy's like hand or the camera. I couldn't really tell which one. And so he's just constantly kind of like trying to get him to stop taking pictures. But the guy is like adamant because, you know, paparazzi, we've seen horrible videos of them and how they are very persistent. It lasted for like 30 seconds. They were just going back and forth with each other, like the guy like trying to take the picture and Louis trying to block it. And then Louis lost his footing because I think he was looking towards where his girlfriend was. He lost his footing and he fell. And when he fell with the paparazzi guy. And so the paparazzi guy fell too or whatever. And then
smashed his head on the airport.
Yeah.
Like the video is really graphic.
Yeah, it was accidental though. Like when I first saw that he got arrested for like assaulting paparazzi, I didn't even click on the link to see what happened or whatever because I figured it was just another instance where paparazzi was being super annoying and a celebrity probably like pushed him or something. But when you look at the video, he didn't even mean to like have the guy fall or whatever because he fell as well. Like right. It was really accidental and the guy fell, hit his head on the floor, and then the camera like pans towards where the girlfriend was, and she's pinned up in a corner with two girls like just giving her like I said on Twitter, a three-piece spicy with a biscuit. Like they were mixing on her. They were mixing on her, and it was just like, well, what the hell is going on? Like, they put her in a blender. Like, she was a smoothie or some shit. Like, it didn't even make any sense to me.
So, come to find out, those two girls were One Direction fans, right?
Yes. They were, like, young. You look at the pictures of them, that paparazzi had taken, like, after, where they were sitting to the side with, like, I guess, airport police or whatever. And they're young. They're teenagers.
But they didn't get arrested, even though they were beating up his girlfriend. Nothing happened to them.
Louis got arrested, and he got arrested because of the paparazzi incident. But I'm like, well, why aren't these girls arrested as well? Like, y'all have to see the video. I'm going to put it in the description box.
The video is insane.
Because it's like, it goes from one extreme to the next. Like, it just escalates so quick. Like, you see him fall with the paparazzi guy, and you think it's over. You think it's going to pan to the girlfriend, and she's continuing to walk. But no, these girls have her cornered. It's one thing to, like, be fighting somebody, and it's out in the open, but they have her cornered, and they are wailing on her.
Did the fandom find her yet?
They saw pictures, I think. No, somebody said they'd go to school in, like, Texas or something, but nobody ever dropped any ads. So...
Because, I mean, a lot of y'all, when it happened, started tweeting us saying that that this was like an example of fan entitlement and how fans feel like they, you know, need to be all up in someone's business and can decide who their faves can date or, you know, if they don't like the person they're dating, they can fight them and they took it literally. Yeah. If y'all go back to episode 4 of our show, we did talk about fan entitlement. Like, people really take their crazy delusions from the internet and bring it into real life. And so when I found out that, like, this whole time Louis was trying to defend his girl, like, I was just like, ugh, I swear to God, if they actually try to bring up some crazy charges against him, it's going to be insane.
And I'm so happy that he didn't, like, actually put hands on those girls, because it would have been 10 times worse. Even though, like, you know, he almost would have been, like, well within his rights to do that, because they were, like, beating his girlfriend up.
They were beating her up.
And she was just, like, in the corner, cowering. Like, it was just, how did this even happen? And it's like, you know, we did talk about the fan entitlement and stuff like that, but like you said, we didn't have an example like this. This is crazy. You, like, I have never seen, I've seen fans do dumb shit, like, bring signs, certain, you know, like, maybe, like, offensive signs to a concert about a girlfriend or whatever, or tweet things 1,000 times a day. But to actually, like, put the paws on somebody, that's a beast. That's crazy.
That's, I mean, can you imagine, like, between the paparazzi and the crazy stans, like, attacking your girlfriend, like, how could you not go insane? And, like, there was nothing, what else could he have done in that situation?
Right, like.
And at that point, it's like, with all the chaos that's happening, you're really only going off of adrenaline. And, like, I'm glad someone took video of it, though. I'm not a huge fan of, like, fight videos, but I'm glad it was all captured. So if they do have to go to court for whatever reason, they can, you know, a judge can decide, like, what all was going down.
Yeah, I can't believe those girls didn't get arrested, though. That's crazy.
Yeah, apparently Louis was charged with simple battery and a misdemeanor.
I don't understand why or even how after seeing the video.
Yeah. Well, good luck to him. Good luck to all of them. And y'all, like, please, if you feel that strongly,
please go to a boxing, like, class
about something, like, please don't take it to the fucking airport and try to fight someone. It's not that serious. It's never that serious.
Never. Oh my God. That's like almost Yolanda Saldivar level crazy.
It was really bad. It was so bad. R.I.P. Selena.
Yeah.
But anyways, on to our next topic. Our girl Normani Corday from Fifth Hamilton. I was about to call it Fifth Hamilton. Fifth Harmony. She was announced this past week as one of the cast members for the new season of Dancing with the Stars.
Yes.
A lot of people have thoughts on this. I want to hear yours.
So at first I was like, boo. Because it's like, when I think about Dancing with the Stars, I think about, like, washed up celebrities or, like, D-list celebrities. You know, Fifth Harmony, they aren't really A-list celebrities, but they aren't D-list celebrities either. Mm-hmm. And, so I, you know, immediately thought, I'm like, this is kind of lame because, you know, this isn't really for her, like, right now, at least. I know she, you know, has always wanted to do this. And that was one of the reasons why I kind of, like, changed my mind about it. Cause, you know, if you know her or whatever, she's always talked about wanting to be on Dancing with the Stars because, she's watched it with her grandmother for so many years and things like that, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it is nice for her to be on it. But initially I was kind of like, this seems like such a weird time to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, for me, the first time, like, when I heard the rumor or whatever, first of all, I wasn't really surprised because there was initially a report that someone from Fifth Harmony would be in it. And I was like, it's definitely Allie or Normani.
Yeah.
But for me, it was less, like, of the timing in her career in general as much as, like, the issue I found with it was just, like, they do have a full slate of this, you know, Asian, you know, tour in Asia that they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
So I was like, how is she going to balance it? But, yeah, even though it is known for mostly washed-up stars, like, I don't really think she has anything to lose by going on it.
No,
like,
no, no.
And also, I think it's better for her to go on a show every week that, you know, averages about 10 million viewers a week, you know, leading up to this album, than going the way of, like, someone who just, like, fell off and, like, no one cares about as much. Like, I'm sorry, some of my faves, including, like, Elle Varner, Tinashe, whatever, they are not on the mainstream public's minds.
No.
You know? And that is not helping when it comes to whatever music they're releasing. But, like, for Normani, who Dancing with the Stars does have a solid fan base that are very dedicated to the cast members that are on there, you know, and they could potentially follow, you know, her solo career, her with the group, both, you know, and I feel like this is perfect promo leading up to whatever she does next, you know.
Yeah.
So the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, this is great. She's partnered up with Val Chmerkovsky. Name is very difficult. But he's one of the best dancers on the show currently. He was actually partnered up with Zendaya, and they got third place during her season. And I mean, someone like her, I kind of put in that same category as Normani, these young up-and-coming stars. Zendaya's out here still working, and she still has a very, you know, good presence, like, you know, across all the things that she does. And also just being in the Disney / ABC family will never hurt you, like, no matter what. Like, that having your name attached to that company, it always brings home checks, you know. Like, she's gonna be doing all the appearances on Good Morning America, Jimmy Kimmel Live, like all the biggest, you know, shows you can be on to do promo stuff. And of course, the, you know, the rest of the group is gonna also potentially come on the show and perform. So it's like, anyone who's worried about it, because I know some people did tweet us like iffy about her being on it, like, I don't think you have anything to worry about. I really don't think that, you know, this is going to be like a mark on her career that, you know, signals that she's not great. I think if anything, it'll just win everybody over.
I do think that they should stop posting videos of them dancing, though. Because I kind of want, I don't know how they've done it before or whatever, but I don't want people to know that they're that good this early before it even starts. Like, they posted a video yesterday, I believe, and I mean, they look good already, you know what I mean? So, yeah. I don't know.
That's fair. I mean, when I used to be a huge Dancing with the Stars stan, like, honestly, when I was in early high school years, like, I even bought the video game, but that's a story for another day. But I think I used to think it was really unfair when they would cast people who are already good dancers.
Yeah.
Because the whole point was kind of to watch these, you know, celebrities who were famous for some random thing, whatever it was, and watch them blossom from, like, non-dancers to actually being able to do really, really great, you know, choreography and everything like that. And the journey itself was, like, what made the show worth watching.
Yeah.
But I think in recent years they have been casting people who did have dance training before. And so they're used to people like Normani at this point who have had training before. I don't necessarily think it will be like anything against her within that circle. But either, I don't know. I have a feeling, like, when it comes to the judges, I have a feeling Carrie Ann Inaba might be a little harsh on her because she know, like, now that, you know, she probably has seen the videos, she probably knows she is a good dancer. I think because of that, that is something that might not go against her, but I think, you know, their expectations of her once she's on the floor will be much higher.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to, like, give her a 6 for something, you know, just to be like, you know, you need to work harder because, like, I think they're going to give her the scores she deserves. But as far as the feedback, they might be a little bit tougher.
Well, I'm excited to see her
weekly. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Because, you know, dancing is her passion and stuff like that.
It is, and she gets to do it now all the damn time.
So. Yeah, and, like, you know, we haven't seen her at her full potential because, you know, the other girls in Fifth Harmony aren't, you know, dancers. So,
yeah.
I can't wait to see, like, all the things she can do, you know?
Yeah, it'll be cool. And this is one of those shows where it does feed off of drama, you know, not necessarily within castmates unless there's something they can pull from there, but, like, they might do a dance inspired by certain issues when it comes to the group or, like, what her personal journey or whatever for this is going to be, because it's not going to be like, oh, I sucked at dancing before and I was always so scared to perform in front of people and now I'm coming out. Like, that's not her story, you know? So it'll be interesting to see where they pull from to kind of make people or win people over, because that's, like, a huge part of that too. So, but yeah, I mean, good luck to her. I know harmonizers are not strangers to voting for shit, so
yeah.
That alone will get her really far.
I think
far,
people so are like really ready because they haven't really voted for something really hard in a while, so they're excited to be voting every week for Normani. So I hope she does well.
I'm sure she will. I think it's between her and Simone Biles or Heather Morris, to be honest. Those are standouts.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how those three do, pretty much. I looked at the rest of the cast and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
But, like, actual skill, people with that, like, real skill that we have seen before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to see those folk.
Cool. So our last topic of the day is Emma Watson.
Yes.
and the continuing story of her conflicted feminism. So, you know, she obviously is out here promoting the new live action Beauty and the Beast.
Wait, can I talk about Beauty and the Beast real quick?
Yes, talk about it.
Have you ever been a fan of it? Because I
was never really a huge fan of it, no.
And so I just, like, now I'm older, I'm just thinking about this. This is, like, so weird to have a story about, you know, an animal that was, I guess, once a man, yes, but he's an animal, and she falls in love with an animal.
She fell in
so
love
weird.
With an animal, yeah.
It's bestiality, but we can continue. I just, like, every time I see, like, a trailer or anything, it's so weird. Like, every
it's
time
weird.
I see it,
no,
so strange.
I completely agree.
And to see
and I was
it
never
live
super
action,
into it. Like, Beauty and the Beast, the soundtrack is really great. Like, they have some songs, but, like, the film itself I was never too into, but...
I love some Celine Dion and who else? Peebo Bryson, I think that's the other guy. But beyond that, I just, it's so weird. Every time I see it, I'm sorry. Just go ahead.
No,
I'm
you're
just
good.
So
you're
weirded
good.
Out by
I,
it.
I absolutely agree. But yeah, Emma Watson is out here. She's playing Belle in the new live action Beauty and the Beast. She did a photo shoot for Vanity Fair where she posted, like, not completely topless, but she was wearing this, you know, small cover, and you can kind of see her boobs a little bit.
A little bit of titty,
not,
but it's not much.
It's, yeah, it's not, like, that dramatic, but apparently, like, people started coming out against it, and they're like, oh, you know, you preached a certain kind of feminism all this time, and now you're posting, you know, you're posing nearly topless and
right.
blah, 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 blah. So then she goes on an interview. I think she was asked about it by the BBC. And she's like, she doesn't understand why people are coming out and saying that feminism is about giving women a choice about how they want to be and whatever, whatever. And of course, like, then there was backlash about those comments because people are calling her a hypocrite because she's made statements in the past, like general statements, as well as statements about, like, Beyonce, where she basically was against, like, women out here being, like, openly sexy, I guess. And I felt, like, two ways about it. Like, I told you earlier, like, I feel sorry for her and that she's had to grow up in the limelight and, like, all her opinions are in print. So people can constantly put something she said in 2009 versus something she said in 2017 and be like, you're a hypocrite. Like, you said this one thing before and now you're saying this. And she can't, like, I mean, honestly, that's usually just called growth. Like, you know, especially if it's happening in these periods of your life where, you know, you're going from your teens to your 20s and you're learning stuff. But some of these, at the same time, like, she's always had a weird relationship to feminism and kind of the face of this white feminist movement along with, like, Taylor Swift. And like we have mentioned in the past, like, there are some people who, you know, only are for certain things when it's affecting them. And so she's not my go-to for, you know, feminist statements. I know she's kind of made it her side career, but for me personally, she's not my go-to anyway. So I personally didn't feel a way about it. Like, if she wants to go make statements, she can go do that in a corner. Like, I really don't care. I don't know.
I don't, like, for me, I just, like, I don't really pay that much attention to her. But I do think that, like, with the Beyonce thing or whatever, I don't know. I just feel like, yeah, she made these comments or whatever, but like I said in the, what was the episode we talked about, the Women's March, I don't look to Taylor Swift for my feminism. I don't look to Emma Watson for my feminism, but I do think that if you want to criticize her, you can do it simply because, like you said, she's made this, like, her part-time job, being a spokeswoman for feminism and things like that. I think you're allowed to make mistakes and take things back and apologize and grow. I think people allow you to do that when you're not claiming to be, what's,
like,
the word
the,
I'm looking for?
You know, the leading expert and
exactly.
End all be all comments. Of, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's like you said, it's kind of like conflicting because in one way you do, like, feel bad for her because things, you know, you do grow and stuff like that. But on the other end, it's like, well, you did say this. So, you know, and I mean, the Beyonce comments weren't that long ago.
Right.
So just don't pay attention to her like the rest of us.
Alrighty. Well, that was our chat this week, y'all. But don't go yet because we have flops and faves.
Don't go yet. So now we're going to get into our flops and faves. And if this is your first time listening, that is our favorite thing of the week and our least favorite thing of the week. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I can go first, I guess. So my fave of the week is this new show I've been watching, This Is Us on NBC, which everyone has been watching it. It just premiered this past fall. But I waited a little bit because people are constantly live tweeting it and always saying how, like, emotional it is.
Yeah.
And so I have, for a long time, like, all last fall, I was, like, only watching comedies. Chewing Gum, Insecure, Atlanta. Like, I was trying to only watch comedies because I just was not in the headspace to just binge watch a bunch of dramas, especially super emotional ones. So I waited a little bit, but like now I've gotten into it and it's just so, so good. Like I've talked about this a little bit before, but just shows that are just about real people, they resonate with me so, so much because I can actually relate to what I'm watching on screen, unlike someone out fighting against some crazy villain or something, or like Olivia Pope or whatever. Like, those are great shows, you know, Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, but they're so removed from my reality that sometimes it just isn't as enjoyable. But then, you know, I gotta like take it down a little bit and turn to shows like This Is Us. It's just about this, you know, family, this blended family, and all the, you know, crazy ups and downs that they go through. And it's just a really sweet show. So I definitely recommend it to everyone. And yes, it is definitely emotional, but it's not always like sad. And that's what I went in assuming, was that it was always gonna make you super sad. But there are happy emotions there too. And so definitely recommend it. My flop of the week, sad to have to say this because I love her, but it's Nicki Minaj. Because it's been almost like 10 days as of recording this, and she has not responded to the Remy Ma diss. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to like look it up. I don't know that I'm going to go into all the details, but basically, you know, Remy released a diss track that was like scathing 7-minute long diss.
Yeah.
And had literally went for every part of Nicki's life and career. And Nicki like still hasn't responded, but like chose to respond in these like really weird ways on social media. Like, but she didn't respond with an actual track like everyone wanted her to.
Yeah.
And it was annoying because it like fed into like every critique of Nicki, in that she's left hip hop behind and has just embraced this comfortable position of being a pop star. And that's really frustrating because, like, I always respected that she crossed over to pop because it showed that she's, like, a true businesswoman and she's going to make, you know, this money and this mark in the industry, like, you know, make her mark in the industry. So I always defended her move to pop. Like, I didn't think it was, like, a negative thing at all. But, you know, I still always also defended her by saying, you know, but she hasn't completely left the hip-hop side behind, blah, blah, blah. You know, but this situation 100% proved that she did.
Yeah.
Because, like, for her to not even put up any response is just lame and sad.
You know what, though?
And I love her to death, though. But and then Remy released a second diss track that, like, wasn't that great. But even in, like, the first track, Sheether, like, Remy made some comments about, you know, Nicki's fans only being, like, young stans and, like, pop star, pop fans and all this shit. And, like, you
it's
know,
not
that's
a
true.
Lie.
It's like, I mean, now it's like it pretty much is. She proved that fact,
right?
You know, and like it got even more sad when like Nicki's fans were like writing responses for her and posting it on social media. Like it just got more and more sad, and it's just frustrating because I do love Nicki so much.
Yeah,
and this doesn't like change anything. Like, you know, when she does, I'm like interested in what new music she's going to release this year, and I'm, you know, in full support of her. Remy is also amazing. You know, I don't know why both of them can't exist in the same space, but at the same time, you gotta respect the legacy of what hip-hop is.
Come
which is
now.
Beefs exist, and that's perfectly fine. You know, that isn't anti-feminist or anything that they're doing this, and we've lost that for hip-hop in general for a long time. So it would have been cool to see them go back and forth, but that just wasn't in Nicki's plan for her life, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like in those pop songs, she still calls herself the queen of rap and things like that. So I think that, like, you can't say that anymore. It's just, it's not for you anymore. You can't call yourself the queen of rap. Like you say, you have to go back to the history of hip hop. When people have beefs, they release diss tracks and they go back and forth until they get over it. And it has happened for decades. So, you know, some people have taken beef to the grave. I don't know. Like Nicki, and I feel so bad for her fans because they don't really understand the hip hop world, really. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. They stan a rapper who's a pop rapper. So they don't really understand the hip hop world. So they don't really understand that her saying she has a lot of money does not matter in a rap battle at all. And, you know,
And it's been really comfortable for her, like, in that space for a long ass time. And I just.
So the first person that challenges you, you know, and it's like Charlamagne said this, and I hate to quote Charlamagne, but, you know, he said, you know, I think it was him that said something about, like, because he gave her Donkey of the Day not too long ago. And he said something about, like, how she'll challenge the pop girls, but, like, the minute she gets any kind of pushback from somebody in the rap world, it's like, oh, well, I'm above that and stuff like that. But we've seen you beef with Taylor Swift. We've seen you beef with Miley. So it's like you pick your battles, the ones you know you can win, you know? So it's like, yes. I think Charlamagne said that.
Do better and be better. But I love her.
Oh, well.
All right. What are your flops and faves?
I want to start with my flop first. So my flop of the week is Ed Sheeran. Because his album
again,
is
didn't
boring.
We give him a flop again once before?
Yes. His album is boring as fuck. And so, you know, before when we talked about him, we talked about him being all cocky and shit about, you know, his music and how he's paved the way for, you know, artists like Shawn Mendes and stuff like that. But man, this album that he just put out is trash. Like,
I listen to it, but
I like one song. Now, I mean, I think you should listen to it and like judge it for yourself. But like, even from what I've seen other people say about it, they don't really like it either. And we all seem to like the same song. It's called Dive. But it's just not good, man. And like the way he was being like super cocky about everything when he first, you know, came back from his hiatus, it was just kind of like, okay, dude, like this is what you came up with after all this time. Yeah. Like, all right, Ed. But yeah, that's my flop because I was really disappointed with the album. I thought like the singles or whatever, the ones he put out, I didn't really like them that much. But I thought, you know, he has a whole album he can redeem himself with, but he didn't. So that it sucks, Ed. Go back to into the studio and try again. So my fave this week is, yesterday I watched the Essence Black Women in Hollywood event.
Yes.
On.
One day we'll be there. Yes. I'm speaking it into existence.
Yes. And we might have a moment like Issa Rae had.
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely be the one knocking over my trophy.
But, I watched the Essence Black Women in Hollywood event. And Asia Naomi King had a really nice speech. I really enjoyed her speech. So her speech is my favorite of the week. She just kind of touched on, you know, like self-worth and acknowledging the fact that you deserve the accolades you've received in your life. And there are times where like, you know, you worked hard for something and you still feel like you don't deserve it and things like that. So it was nice to see someone with such like grace and so much talent touch on that as well, because sometimes it's like hard to believe that people like that can doubt themselves because they're so great and stuff like that. So she had a really, really, really good speech, and I'm going to link it below so you guys can go watch it, because it was
I'm about to cry just thinking about it again. Like, I really did tear
up. Like, I cried the whole show. Like, it was such
a beautiful show. I was crying the whole time. It was so important that they were honoring like all up and coming stars, because like you said, you know, it's hard to feel like people like that ever feel, you know, out of place or, you know, like maybe they don't deserve something. And it's frustrating that we ever do feel that way, you know, whether we've accomplished things or not, but we still do. Like, it's real. And so for all of them to acknowledge that and just to watch them being honored by people they admire, like, that's just, that's goals right there. Like, to see Viola Davis hand Asia Naomi King, an award, it was such a beautiful thing to be able to watch. And, you know, I tweeted this out, but, you know, I just remember years ago, like, watching people live tweet this show, and this was before they started televising it. Mm-hmm. And I just used to be like, man, like, I want to be in that room. And like, one day I truly, truly hope that like we can get in that room, even if it's as someone's guest or if we have to break in or something. Because it just feels so like such a beautiful time. And, you know, thank God for Oprah, who started televising it on her network so we can all kind of share the moment. But yeah, all the speeches were great. But Asia Naomi King's definitely was a standout, and Essence has the full transcript of her speech on their website. So, like you said, yeah, we'll definitely like link it in there.
But I cried the whole time, like legit, and it might be because like this is the time of the month where I'm really emotional.
Same,
but, like sisters. But yeah, so I was like crying the whole time. It was ridiculous, but it was really good though. I enjoyed it a lot. So yeah, my fave this week is Asia Naomi King and her speech. So yeah, that was the episode, guys.
That was the episode. I'm so glad we got to end on a happy note.
Yes.
This week.
Positivity.
So, let's get to credits.
The music that you hear in the beginning and end of the episode is made by our lovely friend and DJ Magic, Dion. Yep. You can follow her on Twitter, SoundCloud, and all the rest of the things at Your Girl DJ Magic. Again, listen to her album. It's good. I'm going to link it again down low. Yeah. It's really good, guys.
She's the best.
Yes.
And while y'all are at it, you can follow the show at The Fan Podcast on Twitter and Tumblr, and you can find both of our personal social media accounts in connected to that. And we'll make sure to like link all of our handles in the description of this episode as well. So yeah, thank you guys for listening and, you know, tweeting under our hashtag and giving us love all the time. It's really, really great. It always makes me
rate
really
us
happy.
On iTunes, please.
Rate us on iTunes. Yes.
Or like Google Play, whichever one you listen to us on. Tell your friends.
Tell your
honestly,
friends.
Honestly, though,
yes.
let me plug something real quick. Tell your friends about podcasts, period.
Yes.
Because I feel like, honestly, people that I know, you know, I don't want to say in real life. Every time I say that, like when I talk about my friends outside of Twitter or whatever, mm-hmm. I call them my in real life friends, but everybody's real here. Anyway, so like I don't really know too many people that listen to podcasts, maybe like two or three people. Mm-hmm. So like tell your friends to listen to podcasts. There is one for everyone.
There is one for everybody. And it's funny that you say that because shout out to my job, NPR. They actually started this, you know, hashtag for this month called hashtag tripod.
Yeah,
and it's basically this full month of like recommending podcasts to your friends. And if you check out the hashtag, you'll find all amazing recommendations if you want to step your podcast game up.
Yeah.
Shout out to MTV Podcasts for shouting out us, which was
That's really
cool. We love y'all over there. But yeah, recommend some podcasts because you just never know, and you'll have someone to talk about it on the bus ride home or in your classroom or wherever. So yeah, share a podcast with someone and make them happy. See y'all.
Bye.